This is Talk Is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. All right, today Encircle Films has started their new season at the Art House, usually the third Thursday of the month. So this is from 10/16/25, their showing of Rising Tide. This is the Q&A afterward with Homes for Good. And so it's 25 minutes, so I just want to give you a little commentary since there's been a bunch of stuff going on. And by the way, at all times when listening to this show and any social media, please use your own brain at all times and have several sources, check several sources. Don't rely on just one source for all your information. So at this time, they're reporting Trump has admitted that it's illegal for him to do a third term, and I just want to say it seems like he's running the economy into the ground purposely so that, like Roosevelt, the economy was so bad in the Depression that Roosevelt ran for a third time, although it was legal at that point, and after that it was not legal anymore. I just want to note the tariffs have not been used to stop outsourcing of jobs, so they've not counteracted globalization, the problems that Labor Secretary Robert Reich has talked about, that they allowed globalization to ruin and that we tried to stop at the Battle of Seattle. So instead, the tariffs seem to have worked for corporations. Their copyright and patents is what he's negotiated for so that they can further exploit people, multinational corporations, again, instead of stopping our outsourcing of jobs and even evening the playing field. So let's see. Regarding Homes for Good is the housing authority here, and my only issue is they're doing great work. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but my issue with the homeless issues is I'm constantly saying what you're seeing is austerity programs. That they, again, during globalization, they did this to the third world. Now they're using austerity programs on us here in the United States. Austerity means that they privatize everything and there is no, you know, social safety net anymore because they want you to work until you die, back in kind of like the Dickinsonian era. So that's what they're saying, and they've, you know, they use these wars. They spend, we have $1 trillion war budget, defense budget. It's a war budget, but yet we don't have enough money for homeless. So what are you defending? And you know, again, to defund the police, you could easily. It's already been shown that social programs would put less burden on the police. Even a lot of the police actually want more social programs because then they don't have to sit there and roust the homeless. That I just saw him rousting the homeless guy out of the over here in Springfield at the Walmart here in Springfield, across from the Walmart, down at the railroad tracks. They were out rousting him away from the railroad tracks, and it'd be nice to if they had some community policing. So this is what austerity does: is they run the economy into the ground. And then the next thing will be Social Security and things like that, that they'll have to use that money because they've spent all the money on wars. And what that does is basically that money goes in the hands of defense contractors and their prime shareholders. And if what isn't literally blown up, your money, your treasury, your tax dollars are literally blown up in wars, that which isn't skimmed off by offense contractors. And I don't know about you, but I don't have shares in Halliburton, but I'm sure institutional investors do. And there's a place where we need to stop institutional investors from investing in war. So what I'm saying, though, the hope that I have is, and I'm actually working on an anarchist novel that I've had an idea for a long time, where corporations' malfeasance just displaces everyone so much, including the police and one thing about the fascists is they don't pay their goons any money either. So everyone is displaced by corporate malfeasance, which to me, fascism is subsidized multinational corporations is what my definition of fascism is subsidies for, you know, welfare for multinational corporations. And so because of that, they will just continue to displace us, and you'll be replaced by machines. And there will be, but they're cutting off their nose to spite their face, and no one will be able to afford to buy anything. Only a few people will be able to buy anything, and they'll, of course, be in either on Mars or in a gated community. And this reminds me of Soylent Green, if you've never seen Soylent Green. So I'm calling this Soylent Green Light, because what will happen, what I'm hoping will happen is what we need, if you're not already doing this, you need to put money, any money you have, anything you can do to improve mutual aid. The mutual aid societies around town, like Food Not Bombs and Burrito Brigade and all the others, there's a fruit gleaning group. All these groups need your money and help and support. And then, you know, for a general strike, but also not just for a general strike. There will be a general strike because they're just going to displace everybody, including me. That I'm sure they'll take my Social Security that is, by the way, an entitlement program that that we have all put money into that they're supposed to invest, and they could easily, the news media is telling you that it's defunct. They'd easily fix Social Security. For one thing, you know, rich people still, because it's an entitlement program, though, when you are rich, that's why the rich say, oh, I still am going to get my Social Security, even though I'm a multimillionaire, because they're entitled to that money. But, you know, we could easily shave off rich people and just say, you know, that, and then they would call it a tax, though. So that's a problem. So what I'm saying is, we need to, in my own opinion, we need to really focus on mutual aid and environmental issues, because if they don't destroy the environment, we'll still be able to grow our own food and in community gardens and things like that. And these spaces need to be used for community gardens. Right now, we have a huge glut of commercial property that could easily be turned over with a little bit of money. It could be turned over to temporary shelter or shelter, low-cost shelter, instead of just tearing it down. And, you know, just as an aside, in Detroit, I followed what happened to the housing in Detroit from 2008, from the 2008 financial crisis. I went to Detroit while I was working. I worked briefly as a truck driver, not a career truck driver. I was the liberal truck driver. And what they did was they tore down, instead of using artisan labor, which it would take artisan labor to repair the houses that are all made of brick there in Detroit, they just tore them down and then put up cheap housing. So this is the other thing they do is they, as Zach De La Roca says, they destroy whole countries and whole cities and then charge you for destroying them with war, and then they come back and charge you to rebuild them. And that's what they're going to do in all over the world. So the reason I'm saying, so again, environmental and mutual aid, the environmental stuff so that we can grow our own food. And, you know, when I was a kid, you could drink the water out of the tap and out of the rivers and streams, at least if you went to the mountains. And, you know, I predict that you'll see bottled air next, and that's how they commodify this stuff, is they poison it and then charge you for the clean stuff. So that's again, why we need the Clean Air Act and things like that. So, mutual aid. Again, I'm calling it Soylent Green Light. And healthcare, too. We're going to have to take our own healthcare into our own hands. And I'm hoping, too, one of the themes of my sci-fi, anarchist sci-fi novel is we'll just start our own networks, use cell phones to take local area networks and tie them together all across the world, and so that we won't even need any of these digital billionaires anymore. So it all can be done. So get with your local mutual aid people, especially Neighborhood Anarchist Collective and people like that. Calc, if all else fails, you know, every town has usually you can find an anti-war demonstration at least once a week, at least once a month in every town. So wherever you are, because this is uploaded on radioforall.net as well, you can find, start by going to the anti-war demonstration in your local town, especially here in Eugene, and that's where you start. When you can't find anybody, when all else fails, go down to the anti-war demonstration, and that's where you'll find information on how you can support mutual aid and other people that are working for a flattened, direct democracy, consensus-driven society, where we have no class. We just have a middle class that is not extractive and exploitative of the environment and the world, and it is a cyclical economy instead of a linear spiral to a death spiral economy. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, support independent media. Check out radioforall.net and check out your local comedy open mics.
Along with a colleague of mine who's up here now. And it's going to be dedicated to the memory of Eric Jackson, who showed up here in 2017 and passed away about 2.5 years ago. Eric led a homeless camp at the Butterfly parking lot and was forced to move to a gravel lot on Highway 99. And several of us helped him set up a camp there. And I said, what do you want to call this? And he said, HEAT. Helping Homeless Empathy Action Team. We need all the help we can get. So we want to revive that in the memory of Eric Jackson. And I'll tell you a little more as we go along tonight. I don't want to keep you much longer than, say, 20 or 30 minutes. And I want you to be free to speak, and we'll keep it fairly brief and in terms of responding one to another. So introduce yourself.
Yes, hello. My name is Zane Ridings, and I'm the pastor of Eugene First Christian Church. And I'm working with Wayne to try to get this HEAT coalition off the ground, because the thing I really appreciated about this film is that, you know, you can have systems, you can have people working, but what you have to have is hope that there's actually some things that we can do about this problem. And, you know, here in Eugene, like Oakland, we have a lot of amazing things going on, a lot of fantastic resources, a lot of wonderful people out there working, but there's still disconnects happening. So I think hope and communication with one another and with what other people are doing are the two biggest things that I took from that film. So please, I'm interested to hear what others have to say about it. And let's just keep working to make something different, huh?
And now I want to introduce Melinda Poor, who's with Community Supported Shelters. Melinda, thank you.
Hi, yeah, my name is Melinda Poor. I am the Service Navigation Manager at Community Supported Shelters. And if you don't know what Community Supported Shelters is, we have the Conestoga Hut communities that you might all be familiar with. We have 13 communities in the area. In the past year, we served approximately 238 households in shelter and approximately 800 households at our access center, people on our wait list accessing showers and resources. So approximately 900 to 1,100 households were served by community supported shelters in the past year. And I think that what I took from that film, one thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, just that investment that if you're not doing it for moral reasons, you should be doing it for selfish reasons, because really when we invest in stability and safety and housing for all, we are investing in our community as a whole and in our safety as a whole. And, you know, while we're investing billions of dollars in incarceration, we could be putting that money into, you know, helping people build better lives. So,
yeah. And next we have Cameron Leland with Homes for Good. Cameron, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Good evening. I'm Cameron Leland. I'm the permanent supportive housing manager with Homes for Good. So the film touched a little bit on the different housing types and the different programs that are most effective and supportive for ending our homelessness crisis. And permanent supportive housing is one of our newest affordable housing types, but it specifically provides that wraparound services that's necessary in helping people kind of get that next step and be able to find long-term stability. So I think the conversation around affordable housing and the current situations that we're experiencing in our community in Lane County and Eugene is a push for more permanent supportive housing. These are the programs that provide the necessary wraparound services so folks can have access to behavioral health and mental health needs, along with physical, which is all super, super crucial in terms of long-term stability. So, thank you.
And let's go to Gabe Pikowski.
My name is Gabe. I'm here because 4 or 5 years ago decided logging wasn't a long-term solution for a life. And then I met Mr. Wayne in West Eugene when I was trying to help a few people out. And he said, "Do you know what you're doing?" And I said, "I have no idea." And he said, "Let me help you." And the rest is history. Now founder, executive director of Everyone Village in West Eugene, 4 acres, 80 tiny homes, a bunch of programs, including a new partnership with Peace Health to bring recuperation units and a primary care medical clinic to the neighborhood. What I took from the film was we're one of 3 nations in the United Nations that still choose to not make housing a human right. They can do that all day long and not keep me from making it a human right. They can do that all day long and not keep you all from making it a human right. And so that's where it must start. You cannot help 10 if you cannot help 1. You cannot help 100 if you cannot help 10. So one of the quotes in there, I don't remember it specifically, but it indicated the way for a soul through all of the tragedies we just saw is someone walking alongside you through it. So I ask you, you and you and you, I already know your answer and your answer and all of your answers, and I ask you, who's your you? What actual human with a name in this town who's experiencing homelessness or many of the setbacks we saw in that film that you're walking with through it? The actual name of an actual human. If you're not doing it for one and you're just watching films, and yes, I'm convicting you, you're not helping. You must find one first. That's how it started in West Eugene, right, Wayne? I tried to help one human on the street and you said, "Let me show you how to help 2. And the 2 worked with me and Wayne to help 3 and then 4 and now 80 right at the village in 3 years. So find your you if you don't have one and start walking with them, and I think we will see the change that we're after.
And now a real favorite of mine. This is Amy. Amy and I are buds.
I'm Amy Chastain. I'm homeless. I didn't really prepare a speech, but I do know what I'm standing up here for, and that is trying to find help for people like myself to make it further than just where I'm at on the streets. And I know Melinda, and I know a couple, Pastor Zane, and I know Pastor Wayne, and I know a couple other people up here now. Thank you guys for having me up here, but I just wanted to say that it takes appliance and determination and having the end result being unhoused, being housed. You know, and I want that for myself. I want that for everybody out on the street. And I know that I can speak for everybody when it comes to some things firsthand, what we're all struggling with. And I know I've learned a couple of different things that would help me to make it a little bit further, and a few things that would I can, you know, leave back in the waste basket. You know, and I'm all for more waste baskets, but. And fresh water and good food, and I'm thankful for everybody and for all you for inviting me here, for me not preparing a speech, not knowing what I'm here for in the long run. And thank you all for coming and watching the movie and being here with us all. Take.
All right, it's time for you folks. Please, what's on your mind? What are you feeling, and what are you being led to do? We have mics. Anyone wish?
If not, I'm going to start telling login stories.
Or any questions?
John Holden, you're here, aren't you? John, say a word.
Hello. Yeah, I've lived here for over 60 years.
Talking closer to the mic. Go ahead.
Hello, hello.
It's not on. I don't think you pressed the button.
Oh, newfangled gadget, huh?
Just talk real loud. It's a small room. I bet your voice carries fine.
Hello, hello.
Speak up, John. We'll listen.
There you go.
Hello. Oh, smokes. I've been here for over 60 years. I'm not a normal homeless person. I sleep every night in the same place. I sleep in my van. I've had four or five lives in this town already. At one of my lives, I had four beautiful children. I have 13 or 14 grandchildren. I can't remember. But they don't all live here. And so I don't get to hang out with them. But my last reincarnation, I had a cleaning business in town for 20 years. I was embezzled by my business partner, which makes me an American dream come true. But I have my health. And I have my health because I choose what I eat. I can choose the garbage. I can drink the same thing, do everything that everybody else is doing in the planet. I'm looking for 60 more years because I'm interested in seeing how we solve the plastic problem in the world. Now, if I don't make it home tonight, I've had a great life already, and I'm happy about that. But I have plans for the future. Now, the only reason why I'm a homeless person and I eat downtown is because now that I'm on Social Security, my paperwork says these are places in town where you can get free food because you have to eat, apparently. And I'm not a three-meal-a-day guy, but I figured out how to maintain my svelte figure without all the other stuff in the world that everybody else can do, too. At my age, at six, almost 70, I'm supposed to be on six different pharmaceutical drugs for my problems, which
hey, John,
I don't have any.
Two-minute warning, man.
That's it. Thank you.
Do I? Yeah. I see you, Mary. Do I not? Oh, somebody that looks like Mary. Who else? Great.
Hey, everybody. I'm Danny. I think the thing that struck me the most about this film was the focus on how structural racism impacts the homelessness crisis, and I'm curious if we have ideas on how to apply that to Eugene.
Mm. Thank you. Cameron, you want to address that? Yeah.
I have some thoughts too.
Yeah. It's a community problem. I would like to address that and just acknowledge that we might not have the same population of Alameda County or of the Oakland in particular, but we have similar patterns of problems. And so understanding the particular culture of Eugene and recognizing what our cultural patterns and the problems that come from our cultural patterns are is going to help us address in a tangible, logistic way how to support the houseless community in Eugene.
And I also think that a really deep and rich understanding of intersectionality can really help us to address systemic racism issues. Accepting that, you know, a white male who is homeless is dealing with different problems than a black female who is homeless can be a good start towards crafting programs and support systems that can help both of those people in really rich and life-giving ways.
I've been thinking a long time about something that is doable and that I really wish would happen, actually. If there was somewhere, that a lot of the homeless people could be given as a foundation or as something like where they could create an idea or some ideas and possibly send in their ideas and or how something's going to work, like a program facilitator could come up with different types of ways that different things could be helpful to the people that are there working on a way to build something, if there was possibly a place for somebody to build something where all the homeless people could possibly work for building a home or something. And I know that they would all do it. I know that that there would be a lot of people if they wanted something to benefit themselves, if they had an opportunity to build their own home on somewhere and heaven granted, you know, I know I would. I would definitely work hard on building something that was a place for myself, you know. Thank you.
Who else? Yes, Chris.
The message at the end of this film, and I heard one of you say it as well, was the importance of hope. And so I would like to ask each of you, do you feel hopeful about the idea of solving or partially solving the issue of houselessness? And if you do feel hopeful, why?
I definitely feel hopeful despite the setbacks that we're currently facing. One of the main reasons that I feel hopeful is because I see so many people coming together and collaborating. Like the amount of collaboration that's happening in the agencies here, coming together around this issue, the formation of the Act Now Lane. That's what gives me hope, is that I think that this community here that we are a part of outside, we don't need to look at a larger scale level. I think this community is invested in solving this issue. And I think that we do have the political will, and that we just need to really, you know, like what did they say? It takes a small group of determined individuals who just do not give up. And I think we have those people in this community. And I think that together we can make it happen. Yeah.
Who else? Someone else? Your feelings, your thoughts. In the back.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm a chair of Neighbors Feeding Neighbors. We work with Wayne. And this is a group that's been serving the homeless in Eugene for 15 years now, originally with Brother Charlie, serving oatmeal down under the bridge at the park. We've expanded our services to be more than just feeding people. We host a Occupy Medical twice a month, and we do a lot of outreach things. But the thing that I see that does give me hope, but it's hope with maybe what we talked about with permanent supportive housing. If you don't address health, mental health, and physical health, as well as iteratively give people an opportunity when they fail. And a number of our people do fail, and we need them to fail upwards, and they often fail downwards. And they feel completely defeated. They maybe get into housing, and they get kicked out with a behavioral problem. Or they're unwell and they don't know how to navigate the healthcare system. And so without housing first doesn't work without services. You cannot get people, very rarely can you get people to navigate through the system and know when and where they're going. So when Wayne talks about, or maybe it was Gabe, start with one. They need friends. They need people to help navigate. I took a young man who was almost dead to the emergency room, and I stayed with him for 24 hours. He had no idea how to navigate through, and he would have walked out, and he was about to lose both of his legs. So we need people to support them as we find them a permanent place to live. And that everybody in this room can do that. And I challenge you to have hope and find a way to be connected to help people do so.
Thank you, Lisa. Any other thoughts, ideas, feelings? Yeah.
Thanks, Wayne. I know we're trying to focus on homelessness here, but there's a structural problem here, and which we haven't spoken about at all, and that's the system we live in. And that's contributing to this problem, or allowing it to persist. We have an economic system that requires, the prime directive is people with money must make more money. And that doesn't serve everybody well as a prime directive. So if everybody's not benefiting from this system, then it's failing. And we've got a lot of things to work on in this country right now. So as we rebuild something, let's rebuild it better, where having a home is a right.
We have mentioned already the formation of a new group, which involves maybe a few churches to get it started, and it's going to address something of what you said, and that is this group called HEAT, Homeless Empathy Action Team, will be focused on starting up in January with a few get-togethers to form that. And it's going to be a group that meets monthly with unhoused people, sitting at the table with housed people, and mapping out the things that could be very, very helpful and very necessary during the heat, during the time where heat is needed most during the winter. So if any of you would like to be informed about that, would you sign a list and an email list, and we'll get in touch with you that way and keep you up to date on that. Anyone else? I'll be out there, and I can help sign you up to hear more.
Do you want to say one more thing, too?
I had one more thing to say, yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to touch on what you were saying about the economic system being, you know, something that makes it really, really challenging to do what we're doing. And for me, always what I turn to is that we need to create systems of interdependence in response to that. And we have to build those things from the ground up.
And I want to kind of synthesize a couple things here. Amy had mentioned really just wanting to have her own agency to build and support. And when it also comes to the systemic racism issues, you know, grassroots is really hard, but it's also like such a wonderful answer. I mean, that's really how Gabe's stuff got off of the ground. That's how Neighbors Feeding Neighbors got off of the ground. It all started from people who care and people who are homeless, and a combination of inside, outside, on the side, all around, all coming together to try and do something. So that's one of the ways. And that's honestly, it's also one of the hardest too, because in our society, we're so used to top down people like me telling you what to do, you know, and for grassroots, people like me got to shut up. So I'll shut up and we can do it.
I think my only lasting note to that is the importance and power of community coalitions. It does take interdependent networks. It takes all of us talking in these community meetings and settings and forums, and also empowering the folks that are experiencing the very things that we're talking about. It's a privilege for us to talk about these things, and I think where we could start to transition that conversation is just giving more room for folks like Amy and other people to be able to advocate directly to the folks in power. Amy, you got it.
I have a cousin who's an advocate, a real-life advocate in Alaska, and she works really hard to advocate for the people that she knows that are experiencing homelessness, and it's everywhere. And I wanted her to talk to me a little bit more about exactly the things that advocates actually do. You know, I haven't studied much about what the actual advocacy word means, but I know that it means helping and people who need the help, and having the avenue, having ways for them to get the things that they need. And I know that with everybody coming together, wanting this, some of the same things in the end result, I know that it's possible, and I can't wait to see the future.
Well, thank you for sticking around, and I hope you have more on your mind. If you'd like to, right now would be a good time to share it. Okay.
I just want to say thank you so much. I do a little here and there, but our world is, we need hope, love, and money isn't making anybody happy. It's not. It's what you give to these, to this world, and it starts, right at the bottom of the barrel. Those people that are out there have hearts of gold. Let's not see them suffer through this terrible time. And thank you so much. You've moved me so much.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I'll be out in the lobby, and I'll be happy to take your name and email and get in touch with you and keep you abreast of what we're coming up with over the next couple months. Real quick, I see Bill Mahoney here. Bill is the guy that started up a pretty interesting restaurant here in town. Bill, would you just say a little something about your relationship with various unhoused folks doing what you're doing, real quick? Yeah, there you go, babe.
Pardon me?
There's the mic. Okay. Yeah.
Privileged white man, and I want to share.
Yeah. And he's got a couple of people that are helping him out there at the restaurant that are homeless. New Day Bakery. Yeah. Doing the work. Yeah. Thanks again, everybody. Yeah, Bill? Yeah. Thanks for being here. All right. Please sign up our list. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you hopefully next month.
This concerns two old ladies who get shifted out by a man who has plenty of money and plenty of houses. And he earns himself an award, a medal, by his dealings in houses. Questa canzone è dell'ultimo album Foxtrot, o something like that. Questa si chiama Get 'Em Out by Friday.
neighbor drags this house and all the others in the road. In the interest of humanity, we found a bit of place for you to go. Go home, go home. No, the sun can't believe. Oh, Mary, they're asking us to leave. Get them out of our daddy. I told them before, to mommy God, let them stay. And if it isn't easy, squeeze a little grease and our troubles will soon run away. Double the rent. I don't know why it seems so funny seeing as how they take my money. The Winkler called again. He came here this morning with £400 and a photograph of the place he has found. A block of flats with central heating. I think we're going to find it hard. I was nothing. I've always said that. Cash, cash, cash. The rain of the ground. You block across the square.
Over there.
Sadly, since last time we spoke, we found we've had to raise the rent again. Just a bit. Oh, no. The sun can't believe. Oh, Mary. Thank you.
advancement from genetic control. Tis my sad duty to inform you of a vault restriction of humanoid. I hear the directors of genetic control been buying all the properties that have recently been sold, taking risks out so bold. It's said now that people will be shorter in height. They can fit twice as many in the same building aside. They say it's alright. Beginning with the tenants in the town of Harlow. In the interest of humanity, they've been told they must go.
Gunman, my sort of star, but please. get you there. What will you give? You're all of us now. We're burning for you. You're all over our town, gunman. You're on rabbits and cans. You're bigger than life, but we're dying for you. And you're braver than dad, gunman. Your women are dogs, but they're braver than you.
Thank you.